I'm Frank Fontana, and this is the Human Renovation Project. For years, I transformed people's lives from the outside in, but today, we begin a new journey, transforming lives from the inside out. Welcome to the new age of the Human Renovation Project. In this episode of the podcast, we meet singer-songwriter Josie Dunn. Josie recently signed a deal with a major record label, Atlantic Records, to record her freshman album and is touring the world performing with some of the greatest music artists of our time. But before this upcoming rocker's dream started manifesting, she lived a life like most teenagers in the suburbs of America, going to school, hanging with her friends, going to parties, and doing what teenagers do, having fun. But underneath that, quote, normal life, something greater was under construction. Her passion was music, and her calling was heard by the universe through the strumming of an old ukulele that ended up becoming one of the most unusual instruments in her success. Let's hear the human renovation story of Josie Dunn. Excited I got to see that.
I was so happy that you were there. That, like,
did you see me? I was like, Josie. No, there's like 10,000 people there.
It was so much fun.
It really was. Would you say that was probably one of your favorite performances, or do you have a favorite performance?
Ooh, I didn't feel that good about that one in particular. Just
why?
We changed a lot in the set, like just tiny little things. Mm. So we'd cut a part here, we cut a part here, because we had to shorten the set for that show.
Yeah.
And so I felt a little weird about it because I was thinking really hard.
I hate thinking. Josie Dunn, you're pretty phenomenal. I got a chance to see Josie, when was it, last week?
Yeah.
At House of Blues in Chicago. Opening up for Julia Michaels, who my wife's a huge fan of Josie's and hers. So it was a double whammy for me. I got to make the wife happy and see you.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, baby.
I love it.
So Josie, you grew up in a small town outside of Chicago called LaGrange, which I happen to live in. Pretty cool town.
Yeah, it is a very cool town.
And presumably small town girl who's made it big. Do you feel that way about yourself?
No, not at all. I just laughed when you said that, because it's like, I feel like I'm just at the beginning. Fingers crossed, I'm just at the beginning.
Yeah, I think you are. When I say that, and we talked about this before, the first time I met Josie was through her parents, who I know well, Marty and Marcy, what's up? And Marty, her dad, says, Frank, you got to see my daughter. You got to see her perform. And I was like, all right. And I'm thinking, here's one of those dads who's just like, oh, yeah. My daughter's so good. Come see her. And she's like, thum, 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 thum. And it's really not that good. But I genuinely was blown away, legitimately blown away by your talent. At what age was, I think that was like 14.
Yeah, I was super young. Like, I don't even know if I was in high school yet. So I might've been 13 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
And you were strumming a ukulele, which is a very unusual thing to see a 14-year-old girl playing a ukulele really well.
Thank you.
And at the time you were kind of mashing up some songs, some, pop songs, and just going, man. It was like so awesome to see you in your element. Fast forward to today, you sign a deal with Atlantic Records, you're writing songs for some of the biggest names in the business, and you're on stage opening up for big acts. How does that feel?
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool. I mean, I look forward to the day that I get to go on a headlining tour and do it, and people know the words to the songs and are there for me.
Where you're the headliner.
Yeah, that's like my dream is to be doing tours like that. But getting to open for people that I have shaped my music career, really, like that I idolize and have just been a huge fan of for the past, 22 years of my life, to go on tour and meet these people and become friends with them. It's really, really cool.
Does that happen? Are you buddies with Julia Michaels now?
Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome.
She seems super sweet and authentic.
She's so cool. Yeah, she's so cool. She's so cool. And her whole crew is really, really sweet. They've been awesome to us.
So you guys get, I mean, do you stay at the same hotels and you're not in the same bus though, right?
No. So she's got the bus. We're in a van. Okay. Which is a little less glamorous.
You got the Scooby van.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That could be fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it is fun. It's fun because you get to, it's more of like a full experience. Like instead of, I did a bus tour and you just wake up in the new city and then you get to explore around the city, which is an amazing way to tour. Yeah. But it's been cool going on a van tour these past couple months because you get to see where you're driving. Like, I know what California looks like, you know, geographically, and I know what Arizona looks like and all these different places that we've driven through. You really get to more experience the country rather than just the city that you're in for that day.
And I love that. I mean, the little wanderlust never hurt anybody.
Yeah, totally. You
know? And do you pinch yourself? I mean, you're like, is this really happening?
Completely, completely. It feels like I blinked and now it's like almost at an end, the whole tour. We just have one show left and it feels like it just began.
What happens after the tour's over for you?
I go home and sleep.
Yeah, because you've been going.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. But I mean, like I said, it's been really, really, really fun.
Is home Nashville for you now?
Nashville now, yeah.
So are you in like a Atlantic Records dorm house with a whole bunch of other, you know, like those model shows where all the models live in one house? Is that what it's like for
Wouldn't
the record
that be
industry?
Cool? No, I think I might go crazy being around artsy people all the time. No, I live in just a normal apartment in Nashville. I mean, Nashville is really cool because it is such a creative community. So you go to coffee shops and see like big hit songwriters and big artists and everybody is kind of everywhere, you know what I mean?
No one's geeking out on them?
No, nobody geeks out. It's really weird. It's like, it's just so normal to see like Keith Urban at Starbucks or whatever, you know? There's
what
just
up,
people
Keith?
Everywhere.
Yeah. What's going on? Hey, Josie. Are people recognizing you yet?
No, not really. I mean, just a tiny, tiny bit, but
I'm sure here in Illinois and in LaGrange, I'm sure.
In Chicago, a bit in Nashville, and then I've been recognized in LA, and I think New York just one time. But it's like few and far between recognitions.
And your songs are super cool. I mean, I don't know how to really put a finger on the pulse of what your sound is, but have you figured out the definition of what the Josie Dunn sound is?
I tell people, short answer, it's Motown pop.
Motown pop.
Which, to me, it's like I make pop music, but I've grown up really, really influenced by Motown and R&B soul. There's the oldies.
Yeah.
So it's pop with all elements of that, you know, kind of sprinkled in.
And you play, like I mentioned, the ukulele, you play guitar, you play a trumpet, all in the same show, by the way. that's when you picked up the trumpet during the concert and started wailing, I was just like, me and Sherry looked at each other like, because Sherry, like, you know, sees you on Instagram and, you know, kind of like, is like, yeah, this is really good music. But when she got to see you perform on stage, she literally looked at me and said, holy shit, like that girl is going to be huge.
And hope she's right.
I'm very rarely wrong, especially in my house. But in life, sometimes I just get this visceral feeling and this like gut feeling. And I don't know what you believe in terms of your spirituality or religion or any of that stuff. But, you know, there's a certain feeling when you see somebody ultra talented, who's passionate, who's just got it. You got it, you know, and I feel that for you. And I feel like you're going to be huge.
Well, thank you. So that means the world.
Oh, well, good. I hope the universe is listening. Yeah. Speaking of which, do you believe in the law of attraction? Do you believe you attracted all this, or do you believe you just worked really hard and this shit just came to you?
No, I think law of attraction for sure. I totally believe in that. And I do a lot to help myself in that world.
Like what?
I'll make like vision boards and I'll put like post-it note papers and tape them up on the mirror or the wall or whatever to remind myself of, you know, whatever the goals are for that month or year or whatever. I'm not wearing it right now, but I usually wear a bracelet. Every year my mom and I get these bracelets where they're called I think they're called My Intention or something, but they custom make these bracelets. You can order them online and they have like a word. You pick your word at your word of the year. And it's supposed to be like where then that you kind of attract whatever that is, especially if you're wearing it all the time.
Yeah. So what was your word?
My word this year was current. I picked it because I know it's kind of a weird one. I always pick like ones that have like triple meanings. I try to be too clever with it. Yeah. And I end up
you're
just
really
explaining.
Pushing the universe there, Joe. I don't want just one thing. I want three things out of this, which is fine. What does it mean to you? What does current mean to you?
So I did it because I love like fish in the ocean and water and all that stuff is I love so much. So current because like a current moves forward. And so it was to remind myself that even like in any moment to just be centered and in the moment, and that will help me move forward. Yeah. And just go with the flow too, and that will help me move forward. So
do you meditate at all?
I do. Not as much as I should, you know. I say I do, but I really do once every couple weeks.
All right, there's different ways to meditate. You don't have to be like, you know, the Dalai Lama sitting there and zen out and stuff. But, you know, it could be, you know, in the car driving to, you know, your next gig. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, a lot of different ways to meditate.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you do it. So you're a believer in that. You're not above all of this and just, you know, say it's just because I'm good.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I think it's more luck than anything, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I've worked really hard. Like I take it really seriously and I've really practiced. Like I used to sit in my room and just play guitar for no reason for hours and hours and hours and hours. Wow. Just to try to get better. And I still do that with trumpet, with guitar, with singing. But
what age did you start playing music?
I grew up in a really creative family. So it's always kind of been around like creativity and
your dad and mom
music.
Don't play music, do they?
No, my dad sang in college, but I kind of think he might be lying. I know. He's not a super great singer, so I don't really know how true that is.
But you grew up in a... Just to give some background on why Josie and I are laughing. Her dad is just such a special guy. Like, I've never met anybody like your dad. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've never met anybody genuinely so loving and sweet and just open-armed and, you know, just embraces everybody in the same super nice way. And I'm sure you have different stories because he's your dad and, you know, probably, you know, yelled at you a bunch, but or maybe not. Maybe you're just awesome and he never yelled at you. But, you know, your dad, above and beyond that type of cool upbringing, mm-hmm. your dad also collects really rare animals.
Yeah.
And they actually live in your basement.
That's right.
Yeah.
It sounds weird when you say it, but it's like he built this aviary in the basement it's basically a zoo exhibit that where he's got glass and this old barn wood kind of around the whole thing, and all these different animals live together, macaws, chickens,
turtles.
I mean,
everything
the list goes on.
And it changes. You know, if you go in, the exhibit does evolve. My kids love going there. They're always like, can we go to Marty's house? I'm like, son, we can't go there like all day. It's not a zoo. But in that type of environment, Josie, it seems like you were free to be who you wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely think that. And my siblings and I all really took that and ran, and they just supported us. Whatever we were passionate about, it was like, do that all the time because that will be what makes you happy.
And your sister Macy is a professional dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to eventually be on your tour dancing with you on stage?
Wouldn't that be cool? I think whoever the tour manager is or the whole crew would just bicker the whole time.
Yeah, so maybe it's so not a good idea.
We got to get rid of her, but no, it'd be great. It would be awesome.
She did a video on your Instagram, folks, which, by the way, you got to check out Josie's Instagram. She's always got some fun stuff up there where she dressed like you, had her hair styled like you, and did this crazy ass dance routine. And for a second, I'm like, wow, Josie's been taking lessons.
Yeah.
been dancing.
By the way, I am the worst dancer on the face of the earth. My mom always says I'm as graceful as an elephant. So it was like, I just kind of hobble around. And my sister is like the exact opposite. She's like so flowy and beautiful move. She's the flexiblest person I've ever met in my life.
Crazy.
And we tricked some people. We totally tricked some people.
Were people like tripping out on it?
Oh, yeah. I had people that were like my close friends that know Maisie really well, but they just didn't recognize her when she was dressed like me. And we had to tape glasses to her head and like tie a string really tight to keep them on while she was dancing.
How? So in her hair, did she have a cut just like yours now?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like because it was flinging in her face and you really couldn't get a clean shot of her face. So it took me a couple watches to get it right. Anyway, so as you climb this ladder of success and you see other rock stars and musicians and artists who have done the same, you know, like people like Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, and they're all young. You probably know where I'm going with this. Do you ever worry that the too young, too soon syndrome might happen to you?
I think not really. I think just having the family I have and the friends I have, it would be super hard for me to like have a crate. I think they would stop me before I went had like a crazy moment. Do you mean like if I might have a crazy moment or, you know, go Britney?
Yeah, go Britney.
No, I think my family is so great and my support system is so tight that it would be super hard for me to get to that point. Also, I'm really grateful that the way that I came up, I really took my time before I released any music, songwriting and growing up, figuring out who I was as a person.
Have you figured that out yet, by the way?
I mean, I think for a 22-year-old, I'm in a good place, but also, I don't know, I'm not like a grown-up, but I am kind of a grown-up.
Pretty mature for your age.
I hope so.
So, you know, at 22, I remember being 22, and I was, you know, had a lot of stuff going on and, you know, took some chances in life, and not everything worked out, and some did great. I mean, I ended up on TV and having several shows and radio and all that stuff. But I do remember, like, the choices, you know, were oftentimes ones that I labored on and, like, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I, you know, is this particular path going to lead me to where I'm going?
Yeah.
And the people that surround you, like you said, are super important. But I always had a little bit of, like, anxiety towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you're putting yourself out there for people to kind of judge you and,
yeah.
your work and your craft. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that anxiety sometimes?
Definitely. I mean, definitely. I think that's just natural. Like, especially with things that are really like I'm super close to, like any song that I release or music video I release, I'm super close to, especially because I take so much. I take on a lot of the creative control. I just have just a certain vision that I, you know, really want to see done for anything that I put out. And so Of course, I'm like on YouTube, like looking through the comments. Like
you do. I was going to ask you if you're a comment reader.
I'm a comment reader. Luckily, I haven't gotten like any really super bad, super, super bad ones or anything that has, you know, has like taken me by shock. Like, oh, I'm so offended by that. Nothing that's like really gotten under my skin.
Mm.
And I think I've purposefully been really, really like selective and like, okay, I respond to the only nice comments. I'll never respond to a negative comment because I don't want to give attention to the bad stuff. It's like the law of attraction. It's like if you give the attention to the negative stuff, more negativity will come.
Yeah.
And so I'm really proud that like on most of the stuff I do, and when I've worked with brands before, like doing brand partnership kind of stuff, they always like text me or email me in reply to like when I post something that's about a collaboration or whatever, they're like, we'd never have artists that there's no negative comments on the post.
That's huge.
Yeah. Which I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah.
Cause I don't buy into the negativity in the world.
Well, I think you can. And I wonder, you know, did Selena Gomez, you know, believe the same as a young artist and then growing up and now she's, you know, dealing with massive anxiety issues and drugs and, you know, Justin Bieber and like you said, you know, Britney Spears. You know, I always worry for you and for other artists that like are climbing at such a young age and then the pressures of the world. Because when you do become the headliner, I think things will change.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like listening to Julia Michaels during your concert and, you know, she's all about like self-improvement and help and mental stability. And, you know, it almost seems that she's got anxiety issues.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I think she wears that on her sleeve, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
My mom is always so nervous about, she's like, if you ever get into drugs. And I mean, if you know me, you know that's just so far out of the question.
It's so true. Like, I just look at you and say, Josie would never do that. And I wouldn't judge you if you did. But, you know, it goes back to this idea that, you know, and I know you know a lot of artists in different mediums, dancing and whatever, singing, drawing. A lot of times there's suffering. Like, sometimes content comes from suffering. Some of the best content comes from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that in your life, what then do you draw on? Just all the good times and the fun times? And do you think that will ever get played out?
I get asked that a lot. But I don't know. I mean, It's tough for me to say because I've been really, really lucky in my life where, I mean, I've grown up in this amazing community. You know, LaGrange, it's an awesome place to grow up.
It's Mayberry.
Yeah. And I've got an amazing family and awesome friends, and I just don't have that much to complain about. So it's tough for me to, it would be tough for me to come in and sing a bunch of moody, sad songs. And
gangster rap. Or
yeah. I get some face tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do that because it's not who I am, and I'm a really bad actress. So I just think it would come off as very, like, ingenuine if I started singing songs about, like, darkness that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
you do talk about love, though.
I talk about love a lot, and I've been heartbroken before. Like, I've dated guys, and we break up, and that sucks for a couple months.
How great is it, though, like, the guys that you dated in LaGrange, and now, like, you're blowing up, and you're like... See, mother effer, you should have just stayed with me because I'm now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Not what happens. But your songs are awesome.
Thank you.
Old school, same, the new track that just came out is so cool. Let's talk about a couple of them and the motivations for them. Starting with old school.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about why and how you wrote that.
That was a fun song to write because it was the first song that I ever wrote that I felt like, this nails the sound. This is the centerpiece of, you know, who I am as an artist and what I want to sound like and what I want to say. It was really the first bullseye after 3 years of writing, trying to hit the board, you know? And so...
What does the board look like? So, like, if you write a song and you think it's good, do you go through the executive summary? Like, people, all the executives at the record label say, I don't know, Josie, maybe we need to add a cowbell over here and, you know,
cowbell.
A cymbal over there, yeah.
A little bit. I think it's mostly me and my manager. And so I would send it to her and then, she would write back at that time just like, cool, you know, just another one. But with this one, her response was like, oh, wow. Like, call me. This is really, really good.
And do you set up like, are you recording at home or do you have a studio that you go to all the time for all this?
I get set up on co-write. So basically my publisher sets me up to meet Joe Schmo at his studio in whatever, West Hollywood, if I'm in LA or wherever.
After you get a green light for like, hey, this is the one, or are you doing this from all these songs?
Just for any song. Like, oh, cool. We're going to go to West Hollywood and write a song with Joe Schmo. And then I show up, write the song, and a lot of times I'm writing with producers. So while we're writing the words or, you know, kind of fine-tuning the melody, one of the dudes will be working on the computer and building the track. And so I'll be writing the lyrics. I'll pop over and be like, hey, that snare should be different or that bass line should be, what if it, you know, did this or whatever. And then by the end of it, you have a song. And usually people's studios, they kind of have a setup in their house. So honestly, old school, for example, like we recorded that in Ryan, the producer's living room. And then that vocal ended up being the final one that we used. And it was like, I was like 18. I think I just turned 18.
Wow.
So it took a couple years to come out.
When did it, so from the time it was recorded, mastered, till the time it actually came out, how long of a time span is that?
I can't remember the exact date we wrote it. I have it written down, but I think it was like 2.5 years before it came out. And it's still the same vocal, which is weird because now when I do it live, I have to lower it because I can't sing that high anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
So were you chopping at the bit to get it out? Were you like, so who determines when it comes out? The record label?
A little bit of the label, a little bit of my manager, and a little bit of me. And it's really like a group effort. I think we all make the executive decision together based on how we feel about the other songs. It's all about like all of the moving pieces together because we couldn't just put out a song and then wait 2.5 years to put out the next one. Once we had it, we kind of had to have them all, get all the artwork, get all the videos, everything done so that we could strategically like put it out.
Yeah. And you have a vibe throughout all your videos.
Oh, thank you.
That is so cool. It's like this throwback. How do you define it? I don't even want to put words to it. How do you define it?
I'm so obsessed with Wes Anderson, the director. So I just try and kind of rip him off where I can without being
like
too
these,
obvious.
They're like these mid-century modern backgrounds and you're dressed in like a floral jumpsuit or something.
Yeah.
Or like khakis and some, you know, crazy sweater.
Yeah.
Is that how you roll every day?
Yeah, it's pretty much how I roll every day. I get most of my clothes from like thrift stores or antique stores or whatever.
That's awesome. That's great.
It's a place to find treasures.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. Now, the track Same, it just dropped. How has the response been so far?
It's been really good. Yeah. I'm super happy with the response, especially to the video, because we threw the video together in like a week. So I mean, not that I had like, I loved the way it came out. It actually ended up being one of my favorite videos I've done. But I didn't know how other people would respond. Just, it was like, it just all happened so fast.
Yeah.
And people have really, really loved it. So it's been awesome.
So is, and forgive my age here, but when I grew up, MTV was the place where videos came out. And like, that's where you debuted your video and song.
Yeah.
What's happening today in the music world? Like, where is that music video living? YouTube? Is that it?
Yeah. But there's a million different places for like the premiere. I had a video premiere on MTV that was like huge.
Really?
Bucket lister moment. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. But this particular video, Same, came out through Refinery 29, which is like an online magazine that mm-hmm. they're actually one of my favorite.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal. I was super excited that we premiered with Refinery 29. So, it came out through there for a couple hours, and then it just moves over to YouTube forever.
And is it literally for an hour, a couple hour contract that you get to like, hey, you get it for 4 hours.
Yeah,
and
like
and
the
we're pulling it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then putting it on Josie Don's YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's where you get most of your traction from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How has social media affected your success?
I think it's been huge to my success. I mean, just especially in this kind of beginning stage, it's a big part of the puzzle is like how the numbers are growing and how people respond to certain things is like kind of the measurement of success. But I have fun with it. Like, I love social media because I just think it's fun. It's just a way to, you know, show your personality all the time to people.
But you don't overdo
interact.
It. Like, you're not showing you pooping. You're not showing like, yeah. like I hate people who just like overdo it. They're showing you every freaking aspect of their day.
Yeah. And their Instagram story is like,
I don't know how you have time for that.
I know.
Seriously.
I don't use my phone enough to have the little, you know, that many Instagram stories, I don't think.
Are you still personally doing most of your posting?
Yeah, I do all of it, actually. I make a point to do all of it. Wow. And I know people say that and they don't actually, but I really do all of it.
Well, you could tell because there's like a certain certain grit to it. That's you know, when you post. So if you think social media wasn't in the picture today, how different would your climb to? Because you used to put out these videos, I remember, of you playing the ukulele early on, like you in the living room or you in your bedroom just strumming away, playing a song. And I just remember, you know, song after song, you would just release these.
Yeah, like covers, just covers. And I think that was a huge part of, too, like the initial growth on my Instagram, especially, but on all across all social media, too. But on Instagram in particular, like that was kind of, I would put out covers of me just covering, you know, Britney Spears songs or whatever, but I make them real jazzy, like because I love to play. I learned all these jazz chords and like, you know, whatever. I would just jazz up these weird pop songs and got a bunch of followers really fast, which worked. Wow, that was great. And so then as I kind of transitioned into it being more about my music, it was really cool because then people could grab on. They knew like my foundation, my foundation musically, because I was doing pop songs that I loved, but also putting like the jazzy spin on them. That was like me, really my roots musically. Sure. So, it was really cool. I think I owe social media so much for that.
That's great. It's interesting to always hear like the social generation versus like, you know, cause I'm right in the middle of it. Like I do a ton on social and I think I'm good at it. And then there, you
I
know,
think you're great at it.
Thank
by
you.
I
appreciate that. And then there's like my wife or others and that are in the same age group who like can't understand it and don't want to understand it. It's the devil. It's evil. And mm-hmm. I think it's what you choose to consume is what makes it evil. Right?
I totally agree.
It's like a TV. If you don't like it, change the channel.
Yeah.
If you don't like Josie's channel, change another channel.
Yeah.
Has any with those mashups that you're doing with the covers, mm-hmm. did any of the artists respond to you? Because I remember sometimes you'd hashtag them or say at, you know, whatever, Britney Spears. Did anybody respond to you?
I had Maroon 5 like reposted one of the, I did a cover of Sunday Morning by them.
I remember that.
And they reposted it. And I think they followed me. Maybe they don't follow me anymore, but they followed me then and like kind of DM'd me and I was geeking out. I was freaking out.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was
huge.
Awesome.
Awesome. Man. So what was one of your favorite, like, you know, moments out of all this so far? Like, do you have a moment that stands out in your career thus far? That's like, this was like the moment for me right now.
Oh, it's tough because in the last year and a half, 2 years, it's been so many of the, it's like a lot of the first thing right now, which we kind of talked about last time we talked, but it's really cool. Like, I'm in this period where I'm doing a lot of stuff for the first time, first tour, first time on a tour bus, whatever the thing is. It's like, I'm getting a lot of these once in a lifetime moments. Yeah. And so it's tough to narrow it down. I just yesterday sang at the Cubs game, which is, I mean, that was the fourth time I've done it, so it wasn't like a new, cool experience. But it's so, I mean, I just pinch myself every time I do that. I'm such a Cubs fan.
What's the audience there? That's like what, like 7,000, 10,000 or more?
Yeah, they had, last night they had 35,000.
35,000.
I know.
I mean, that's probably bigger than most of the concerts you'd play, right?
Yeah, way bigger. Way bigger.
So I would imagine the pressure is way bigger, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's easier because it's an old song that, like, yeah, I've sung a million times.
The national anthem, that song. Yeah. It's an old song. It's been around for a couple years. Did you do anything different with it? Because I always wonder when artists do the national anthem, and there's some that just, like, Fergie, like, butchered it.
Oh, God.
And, you know, or, like, you hear more of the R&B singers who just vibrato, all that stuff. It's just not necessary. Mm-hmm. What angle did you choose to take?
So I try to do, I'll throw a couple runs in and a couple little moments, but I try to keep it pretty straight up because I've seen so many where it's like, and then you're like, all right, we got to just get through this chip chop. But I think I do it pretty simple, but I'll throw like little touches of something
new. A little Josie sprinkled in there.
Little sprinkle.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, there's some big accomplishments in there. I mean, do you ever worry like, this might go away? Like, do you ever get fear? Like, oh my God, this is so good that I don't want it to go away.
My dad actually has taught me like the best mentality around that, to just look at it and go, even if this goes away, if I wake up tomorrow and I have completely lost my voice and could never write another song or play another song again, it's been so much fun. I've had the best 5 years of my life, the last 5 years, getting to do this full time. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I've made it farther than a lot of people, even though I consider this just the I'm really hoping this is just the beginning, and I would be bummed if it all went away, you know, but it's been so much fun that I can't really like hate it, you know, like, I can't look at that and think like, oh, I'm so scared, because it's been such a blast that I have to just be grateful for that.
Totally. And do you ever say, I'm just lucky or special? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you ever just say, gosh, you know, but this is just luck? Or, you know, because a lot of people on the other side, young girls who's like, I can sing better than Josie, or, you know, like,
and they probably can.
And maybe
that's
they
the
can.
Thing.
But there's a component here that is, you know, I always say when people say, oh, you're lucky, Frank, you ended up on this and this. No, it's a combination of skill, timing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That come together to create luck.
You know?
And I feel like that's probably the case for you. Now, behind that, though, is years of hard work, mm-hmm, years of dedication. And I'd love for you just to kind of talk about, you know, for that person listening right now who's 13 years old, it's the 13-year-old Josie Dunn. What would the 22-year-old Josie Dunn say to that 13-year-old Josie Dunn?
I would say, breathe. There's time. There's so much time. I think I was always in a rush. I always felt like I was behind the curve. Like, Justin Bieber's was famous when he was 14. I have a year. But that's not at all how it goes.
Pressure to put on yourself.
Yeah, it's not at all how it goes. I would take the pressure off, or try to take the pressure off myself. But I think also pressure has been a really good thing for me too. Like, because of that pressure, I've really pushed myself as a performer and as a musician and as a songwriter to be I want to be the best. So I got to spend a lot of time practicing guitar, or I got to spend a lot of time writing songs if I want to be the best.
Sure. But don't you think, you know, the flip side of social media is that it creates a delusion of what's possible, because you have all these Insta stars that, you know, pop up out of seemingly nowhere, you know, because they have a big booty or something, or, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it creates a little bit of a diluted idea of what it takes to really become successful.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, I think there's two ways to look at it. There's people who climb through social media on you know, like these personal trainers that have all these, you know, followers and stuff, but they really don't know what they're doing. Just because they look good doesn't mean that you're qualified.
Totally.
And just because you could sing doesn't mean you're going to be huge. You know, there's a lot of components that go into it. You know, you've managed to balance that really well.
Thank you.
I think when you're on stage and you're doing your thing, and I've heard other artists talk about this, like they almost fall into a trance-like state. And I am enthralled by that. Like when you are on that stage, and I saw you at the House of Blues, and you were just in your zone, you're feeling it. And it's like, if you could just bottle that, how do you channel that energy to get into that zone and create that passion that allows you to just say, I don't care if I'm going to be judged. I don't care if, you know, I'm off note a second here. I'm going to just be on stage in front of all these people and just be me and do my thing. How do you do that?
I don't feel like I do it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it just kind of happens. It just moves through you. And you probably have had this experience when, like, when you're on TV, like when you're live on TV or something, there's just this kind of adrenaline that kicks in that you just go into, all of a sudden you set into
the mode.
Show mode.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same. It's like you just, I walk out on stage and it's just like Josie show mode. And it's nothing that I personally do. And I haven't figured out what it is. If it is a one certain thing, you just kind of like take a breath, walk out, and then just take the energy, feel the energy.
I hear you, and it is, I appreciate the reference to the TV stuff, but it's different in the sense that, you know, you're not having to just deliver a line.
Mm-hmm.
You're having to keep an energy level for an hour or more, as well as remember the song and every bit of it and put your, you know, unique flavor on it, as well as dance around the stage. And I always just feel like it's bigger than most anything else. And like when you see an artist truly singing their heart through the microphone, there's nothing else like it. I mean, music has a vibration that changed the world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and when you do that, you're part of that change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wish there was a way you could say, Frank, I'm going to squeeze it right in this little bottle here and I'm going to take it. This is the passion juice.
And drink it every time I go on stage. But it's like, it just happens. It's just the way that your body reacts to, you know, whatever 1,000 or more people staring at you at once, waiting for you to do something. You just kind of, this adrenaline kicks in and you just go into your mode.
So on do you follow quantum physics at all?
I don't.
You don't. So there's a theory of quantum, the quantum effect, basically. Right. Where we're all energy. We're all vibrating atoms, particles, and, you know, as human beings, we're right now we're exchanging energy in this conversation. And when you're on stage and you multiply that by 10,000 people watching you and throwing their energy to you, I would think that
that's a lot of energy.
That's a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be a portal in a way.
Yeah.
To filter that. And then let it go. I mean, do you have like outer body experiences sometimes when you're on stage? Like, do you?
Oh, totally.
Talk to me about that.
I feel like when I'm on stage, I'm like the most me version of myself. It's like super me.
Yeah.
And then when I come off stage, it's like I go back to ordinary, like grew up in LaGrange Josie.
Oh, she done. Living in LaGrange.
But
because I don't think you could probably live in that energy frequency all the time.
I think you'd go crazy.
Which I think happens to like we talked about Justin Bieber and those people, when you're so famous and you have to be on all the time. It's got to be draining.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be. I think you have to keep your circle super tight and super honest.
Yeah,
for sure. Because I think that's everything. It's making sure that the people around you are like, are you good? You know, and that they leave time for you to cool off and go back to earth, you know?
Yeah. What's your ritual behind, you know, before you get on stage? Do you have a ritual?
I just do my makeup, do my hair, and then...
Wait, you don't have like a fancy like makeup department and hairstyles that travels with you on the Scooby bus?
I actually do. My best friend, Kate, is my photographer, and she is really good at hair and makeup, and so... I didn't tell her before the tour started, but she's become the hair and makeup department.
That's awesome.
Unofficially. Yeah. She's awesome. So she actually does do my hair and makeup, but so I get that done. And sometimes I do it myself, but it does not even look half as good as when she does it. And then we kind of dance around in the green room. Like, we'll put on songs that I really like and pump us up. I warm up on trumpet.
What artist do you listen to when you're back to stage?
The one song that we listen to every single day before we go on stage is Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen? ABBA?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It's the right before we go on.
Wait, on the at the House of Blues show. Yeah, I love that song. Do you you played your songs and then you played a couple kind of covers, mm-hmm. Motown-ish, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you feel you're channeling sometimes, like that era of music?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Oh my gosh.
Did your parents grow up playing that stuff in the house?
My mom did a little bit. She like was a big fan of Stevie Wonder, mm-hmm. and so from her I got that. And then I think kind of through like her loving the Jackson 5 and Stevie, I discovered like on YouTube or whatever on iTunes even back in the day when you could like they had like Discover. I don't know, you could find similar music. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of fell down this hole and I realized like, oh my gosh, this is the kind of music I love. Etta James and Aretha and all the greats. That was like my jam. And it started from my mom for sure. But I think a lot of it too was just like me being on the internet and discovering it too.
Do you believe in past lives?
I do. I totally do.
You totally were like some soul singer back in the day.
That'd be awesome. Back.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. I totally hope you're right.
I mean, how could you not be? Look at you. I mean, you're on stage killing it. Josie, if you weren't doing what you're doing today with music, what do you think you'd be doing?
I actually don't 100% know. I think I'm through music and through so much self-discovery that I've had to do in order to like be able to like properly brand yourself. I would love to do, I think like marketing for something or being somewhere in corporate America would be really fun for me because I love that side of things. I love like I said, I love social media and branding and how marketing kind of like can totally change the way a product looks or who buys it or whatever. I think that's so interesting.
Well, if you ever give up your career, come work for me.
I'll be your intern.
Now, as I asked you earlier, like what would the 22-year-old, tell the 13-year-old Josie Dunn? What do you think the 44-year-old, looking back at your career at 22, would want to see from the rest of your, like where, what to you is the pinnacle? What is the ultimate?
Oh, the ultimate would be playing, like doing an arena tour or a stadium tour where I'm headlining. That would be crazy. I feel like Beyonce.
A Grammy too or three?
Oh, a Grammy. That'd be great. That'd be good. Yeah. I would accept a couple of those. I'd love that. It would be cool to like get to reach out and do other creative stuff too, like getting to put out, you know, whatever, a line of clothes or a line, be in a movie or something. That would be so cool. Getting to just do anything creative. And I think just as long as I keep pushing myself inside me, I'll be happy. Yeah. I think.
What does happy mean to you? Like when you say I'm happy. Well, what does it feel like for you?
Oh, I think happiness kind of just is comfort.
Do you think it's you choose it? Do you think you choose it?
I think certain people choose it or don't choose it. You know, but I also think that there's a little bit inside of us that's just our default is either happy or sad.
I agree with you so much. I always say that all the time. There's a gauge in every human.
Yeah.
And you either, when things are just fine, you either default to like, hey, I'm in a good place or what's next?
Really
like what's bad? You know,
mm-hmm.
like looking for that next drama.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool that at 22, you're clear-minded and enough and open-minded enough to believe in these things that we can't see and can't touch. You know, this podcast is all about that. It's about the human renovation process. Yes, we love you as a rock star, Josie, but it's so awesome to hear you as a human sharing your struggles, sharing your successes, sharing your methods to how you gained success. Now, if you were to, you know, as we close out here, give some tips to somebody trying to break into the music industry, what would be your top three tips?
My number one tip is write a million songs. Write a ton of songs. Even if you think they suck, write them, write them, write them, write them, write them, write them, write them. because through that, I personally have learned so much about myself and about who I am as just as a person, how I grew up and how that's affected me. I think songwriting has been really like my, like it's kind of pushed me into adulthood, I think, just mentally. Like I've learned so much about myself from songwriting. And so
therapeutic in a way, right?
Yeah, it's totally therapeutic. It's totally therapeutic. And that's the number one thing I could say. Number two would be like advice for somebody who wants to get into music. I would say trust your gut, because I take pride in the fact that I'm like super controlling with all the creative stuff, and I really have a say in every little piece of the pie. And I think that that is so important in this day and age, is that you yourself get to touch everything, because people can see that, you know. I think people's BS radars these days are super high. If I put out something that was like Josie Dunn flavored tequila, you'd be like, that's not Josie.
That's not Josie, yeah. But like an old fashioned, yes, that would be more, yeah, like a Josie. Maybe. A little bourbon, maybe. A little sherry. That's Josie's drink, I would say.
So, you know, just always be really, really true to yourself. And
so authenticity.
Authenticity is so important.
Why do you think authenticity now has like been, I know we got one more tip left, but mm-hmm. it's authenticity being thrown around in the world of social media and in the world in general.
Yeah.
It's not a new concept to be yourself, but we've lost ourselves so much mm-hmm. as a society. And I feel like now everyone's focused on let's be as real as possible.
Mm-hmm.
What about just being real from the get, you know?
Yeah, why did we have to like go you. Back to being real?
Right, exactly. Why is being real even a thing that we have to like...
that we have to talk about.
Right, like, exactly. But that was my point. Like when you're on stage and you're channeling all this stuff, and you know that to me is the purest form of authenticity, is when you are able to bare your soul on stage and not care what anybody's thinking and just do you. That's just brilliance, man. That's like artistry and brilliance altogether.
Thank you.
Sorry, so give me a last tip.
Oh, the last tip I would say... to somebody who is just trying to get into it, I would say practice. And that goes for anything.
Yeah.
Study, practice, research. You know, really, really know what you're talking about. Because that has been, knowledge is power, you know. And that's been such an important part of, like, I can go into the studio now and reference, like, old, you know, the Andrews Sisters songs. And not a lot of 22-year-olds can do that, or not a lot of people in general can do that, you know. But
to be
just
honest,
having,
I don't know who they are. Really. Sing me a little something.
They've got a great sound.
Interesting. I'm 40-something, and I don't know who they are.
Well, just I think just you know knowing a lot about whatever you do. I'm sure you've gone and like watched podcasters and radio people talk, like
all
listen
day,
to,
every day.
Yeah,
that's all I do.
You just study it because there's tips everywhere. And I go to a bunch of shows and I always watch the people that I open for. Every single night that we're there, I'll sit and watch their whole show because you pick up tips. And I think just having knowledge and being hungry for more of it is a really, really good thing. So that would be my final tip.
Love it. Some good stuff from Josie Dunn.
My and wisdom.
Then, and then I always throw in there that, you know, like I believe that hope and crazy belief in yourself has got to be a part of that.
Totally.
Right?
Optimism is a big plus.
Win-win, baby. When you get optimism and talent together, it's like...
two thumbs up,
yeah,
right there.
Double thumbs up. Where can people find you online and hear your music?
I'm at Josie Dunn, or on Twitter at Josie Dunn Music. And then you can hear my music all over the internet. Anywhere that you can get music. Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, wherever. I'm on there at just Josie Dunn.
Folks, go follow Josie. Listen, you're listening to greatness. And in, I would say, maybe 2 years, you're going to see this girl headline shows. Julie Michaels is going to be opening for her. I'm sorry, Julia. I didn't mean that. But no, I mean, I wish you all the best, Josie.
Thank you.
So deserving. You're so sweet. And I can't imagine anybody, you know, who deserves it more than you.
Oh, I have just smiled for... you know, an hour straight. So thank you so, so, so much. Thank you.
You're
the best.